It's a dreary, lazy Sunday morning.
Yes, it is. All right, so we're here to talk about Kisses on the Bottom. Welcome to another edition of the Long and Whiny Show. I'm Jay Mix on the other side, and this is a very different album we're going to be talking about today. But before we get into that, what is the news that you have this week?
I saw this news story a couple weeks ago, and when I read it, I couldn't believe it. So I was thinking it must be an April Fool's prank, but it took place before April Fool's. And I haven't heard anything about it since, which also seems kind of suspicious. But I read that, and also by this time, you've probably already heard it, but I read that Paul McCartney is going to be in the fifth Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Yeah, he filmed his scene last week.
Yep, I figured you would have heard about it.
I don't know. It was in Canada somewhere. And it's an add-on scene because the movie's been in production for a couple years now.
Yeah, well, they finished shooting. This is in the reshoot phase.
Right.
So it's not going to be a big part. It's just going to be a cameo, presumably. But I just thought that was noteworthy. Of course, it was more noteworthy 3 weeks ago.
Well, it's still pretty cool, though. We'll see if his acting skills are still give my regards to Broad Street style.
And see what he looks like as a pirate.
There you go.
Because I assume he's going to be a pirate. Maybe he's a nobleman. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see. Anything else?
Well, there are the date announcements for the new tour, but you probably know more about that than I do.
Well, I'm looking at those now. Target Center in Minneapolis on May 4th. Two dates there, May 4th and 5th. Alberto, though this is out of the country, so we're not concerned about that. Then he goes out of the country for an extended run. Bounces back to the O2 Arena in Prague on June 16th. But in between, there's a lot of out-of-country dates. But his first ever appearance, I guess, in Hamilton, Ontario, is July 21st, and that's the big announcement this week. It's not a place where he's never performed before. And then he takes a month off, and August 13th, he's going to play the Busch Stadium in St. Louis. So we'll know more about some some set lists here pretty shortly, because the first date of the tour is April 13th at the Save Mart Center in Fresno, California.
Wow.
Right around the corner. This tour is called One-on-One, and we talked about that briefly at the last show. What that means, we'll find out on April 13th. But this week we're talking about the...
Oh, there's the compilation album, too.
Oh, that's right. We forgot. Pure McCartney comes out in June, which is 67 tracks, which covers from 1970 all the way up to the present. And I think there's at least one song from every album. But as we've talked about off the air, why would you release the compilation album in the day and age when people just can make playlists themselves? And this seems an odd move for someone who hasn't released a new album since New a couple of years ago. So I'm it's just strange. And then he re-releases Jet as a single this week too. So it's in this day and age, I don't think compilation albums are what they used to be. What do you think?
I like the fact that the songs are mixed up. It's not like a chronological best of box set, something like that. I like that it's just he took all his what they think are the best songs and just rearranged them and mixed them up like a playlist. And so I appreciate that part of it. But I agree that it's weird to release this without any kind of special song on it, without anything exclusive on it. No new mix, no rare outtake from the archives. It's just the album tracks.
Yeah, this is also going to be available on all the streaming platforms. So
yeah, well, it kind of is already.
Right, exactly. So it just seems strange, but I like the cover photo is cool. It's kind of him in the early 70s with a full beard and taken in shadow. I'm sure that's a Linda photo. I did like that. I haven't heard much more about that album other than its June release, so we'll talk about that as we get closer to it.
Maybe.
Yeah, right. So Kiss is on the bottom. What'd you think overall?
Well, like I've already said, I had doubts about this album, and I was kind of dreading listening to it because I saw the clip of Paul singing in front of a big band, and his voice was not good. So I assumed that was like documentary footage from the recording of the album. I've since found out that it was a special concert that they recorded in studio but shot live, recorded live, of a concert, like a exclusive little concert that was available as a download with the album, and the album itself is an entirely different recording. So what I saw was not really a taste of the album.
And yeah, what you saw was the iTunes concert, which is available on the deluxe edition of this album.
Yep.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's... But... So when I actually listened to the album itself, it was a big relief to hear that Paul sounded much better than I feared he would.
So what does that mean? Does that mean you thought he sounded good or?
Yeah, I did. I think the problem was since he was singing live in front of this orchestra, and it was a bigger grouping than they used on the album because all the strings and stuff were overdubs added after. I think that because he was singing against everybody at the same time, that he felt the need to sing louder, and it put a strain on his voice, and it really brought out that old man vibrato that I hate so much. And so when he was singing in front of this intimate little jazz combo for the album, he had a more relaxed sound, and his voice sounds much better.
So my question is, this is by no means a Michael Bublé album. Nor does it have much in common with Rod Stewart, who did tons of standard albums in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. These are much more, I would call them obscure songs, but what do you think?
Well, yeah, I guess they're more obscure, but I was pleased to see that I recognized quite a lot of them. There are only like three or four that I don't think I'd heard before. But yeah, he's not going for the American standard, but he is going for a lot of the American songbook. And I guess these are songs that his dad used to sing all the time. And a lot of the reviewers have pointed out the irony that the Beatles ruined this kind of songwriting because they made pop music so popular. And so here's Paul bringing back these songs after he himself pushed these songs to the sidelines.
So what'd you think of the band? Diana Krall is featured prominently on piano. What'd you think of the band?
They sound good. I really don't know much about her or much about the people she's got in her band. They sounded good.
She is, of course, married to Elvis Costello. Mm-hmm. And that's where the Paul McCartney connection comes in. So she sounds great, but she always sounds great. I'm familiar with a lot of her stuff, limitedly, but not. I don't think I've heard a full album, but I've heard a lot of cuts of hers. She has a decent jazz voice, and I think she brings a lot to this. None of McCartney's touring band is on this album.
Yeah.
So this is totally different. And we got a couple of surprise guest stars in. And correct me if I'm wrong, Stevie Wonder, Joe Walsh, and Eric Clapton. Does that sound right?
Which one are you looking? What's your source? What are you looking at?
I'm on our famous Wikipedia.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm looking at the CD booklet, and it does not mention Joe Walsh at all.
Okay. All right, well.
But I know he did perform on this song in some iteration, just not on the CD.
Yeah, he showed up on the Grammys when they performed it. Yeah. So, track number one, I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter, which I know this song.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter.
What did you think?
Well, it's going to be really tough for me to review this album song by song, but it's basically what song I recognize and what song I don't recognize, because they sound so similar. They're all in the same style, obviously.
That's the problem with the album.
The same jazzy style.
Yeah, that's the problem with the album as a whole. They all have the same jazzy piano, the brush drums, you know, and every once in a while they'll throw in a stand-up bass. But the arrangements are, you're right, they blend together.
Yeah, so it's either you like the album or you don't like the album. It's kind of tough to say, well, this song's great, this song sucks. Although I'm sure a lot of people like this album solely for the one solo McCartney, McCartney written song on it. That might be the exception for a lot of people. But I bet if you're unfamiliar with this music, this album is probably the most boring thing you've ever listened to.
So with that said, I wrote down this on a very good jazzy piano. I like the brush drums because this is the first time we hear them. It's the opening song. Mm-hmm. It hasn't gotten old yet. And the vocals kind of a nice whisper. But overall, do you think his voice is suited to sing these type of songs?
In the style they're done, yeah. But, I mean, I've heard this song done really up-tempo and louder. And I don't think that his voice would be suitable for that version. But these are all pleasant, easygoing sounding recordings.
I think he would have been better vocally if he had done something like this in the late 70s.
Probably. And he said that he's been wanting to do this album for a long time, since the Beatle era. He's been wanting to do an album as tribute to the songs that his dad used to play. And also, by the way, this is a Fats Waller song, and it's also where the title comes from.
So the next song is Home When Shadows Fall.
When shadows fall and trees whisper day is ending, my thoughts are ever wending home.
I've never heard this song before.
Yes, you have.
I have.
Yes, you have. Because here's my little bit of trivia. This is the song that they play at the end of The Shining.
Really?
Yes. When they're zooming in onto the big black and white photo, the big party, the New Year's Eve ball party.
Oh, yeah.
That's the song that's playing on the soundtrack. It's this song.
Very interesting. Well, we both know, we've talked ad nauseum how much I cannot stand that movie.
Yeah, but you have seen it. So.
Right. Absolutely, yeah.
And here's the part where I come in. Mickey, as usual, is confused. For one thing, the photograph was taken on the 4th of July 1921. And for another, while the song does indeed appear, it is in a scene near the middle of the film.
My girls, sir, they didn't care for the Overlook at first. One of them actually stole a pack of matches and tried to burn it down. But I corrected them, sir. And when my wife tried to prevent me from doing my duty, I corrected her.
And according to my source, this song used to be performed by the Quarrymen.
Oh, well, that's cool. Now, that might be fun to hear that.
Yeah, I don't know if it was ever recorded.
I like the instrumentation at the beginning of this, and it has that jazzy guitar feel. And this feels like a Sinatra-type song. And I'm sure that he's kind of trying. I don't know. How do you feel? Do you think he's trying to emulate anybody while he's singing? Or is he just trying to do what fits well within his vocal range at 70-some years old?
I don't know. I don't know if I've heard this song performed outside of The Shining. So I really don't know who he'd be emulating. So I can't answer that one.
Well, I mean, just overall, who do you think his inspirations would have been? Because it doesn't sound like there's some songs that we'll get to later on in the track list that do sound kind of Sinatra-y and vocal. But of course, you know, we're talking about one of the best voices of the 20th century in Frank Sinatra. So, but I mean, I can hear him trying to go in that vein. Did you pick up on that, or was that just me trying to read more into this? Because it's not a very peppy album.
I don't know how to answer that. I'm not that familiar with crooner song styles, or stylings.
It's Only a Paper Moon. Of course, we know this song. So, what do you think of that?
Yeah, it's good. I like the mix of electric guitar and acoustic guitar, having a little duet at the beginning. And the addition of the fiddle is kind of cool. There's a little bright, cheerful fiddle solo.
That is the highlight of this song. And
so who is it? Let me scroll so I can credit the Andy Stein is the violinist. Although it sounds more like a fiddle to me.
Yeah, he makes the song. I think that's kind of like the highlight of this. And of course, the piano is good again. It's good throughout the entire album, but as we'll say, I'll probably say five or six times, these songs all bleed together because they're just so arranged, the similar stylings. It's difficult to remember them after you're done, unless you play the album seven or eight times. More I Cannot Wish You.
But more I cannot wish you than to wish you find your love.
What'd you think of that?
I don't think I've heard this song before, although it's from Guys and Dolls, the musical Guys and Dolls, and it's written by Frank Lesser, who also wrote another song on this album. And I'm surprised I haven't heard this song before, because I like Frank Lesser's songwriting. But it's a nice song. It's very pretty. It's very quiet and subdued. And this seems to be just the standard jazz quartet, guitar, drums, bass, and piano. And I really like the delicate, gentle guitar playing that's on the left side of the song. There's some very sensitive finger picking going on that I really liked.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. I wrote down some of that stuff too. And the guitar is great. It's kind of interesting to see him go from a little falsetto back to his regular vocal. That was nice. It takes a while, it seems like, for the lyrics to get to the hook. But other than that, the song was okay. I enjoyed it. The Glory of Love, we all know this song. What do you think of this?
That's the story of... That's the glory of love.
I'm used to hearing it more like a really up-tempo, brassy, bold version of it, and this is a lot more subdued, just like the last track, though not as subdued. It's got a lot of stand-up bass in it. I wrote down not very glorious, and Paul does some double-tracking near the end of the song.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, the bass is awesome, and I wrote down this is the one I know so far the most of all the tracks so far we've talked about. Yeah, this is a good song. I recommend. This is definitely one to listen to on this track, on this CD, I'm sorry. The next song is We Three, My Echo, My Shadow, and Me.
My Echo, My Shadow, and Me.
This is a very interesting song, but I've heard this before, but his arrangement is quite different than what I remember. What'd you think?
Yeah, I don't think I've heard this song before, although I read that it was recorded by the Ink Spots, and it's back to the standard quartet, but then there are some overtrack strings near the end. And that's about the end of my review.
Yeah, this is fun, and I think his vocal is pretty good on this. Some parts it's a little off, but I think he does try to maintain it overall as far as the vocal. And this is there's that jazzy breakdown in the piano in the middle that's kind of cool, which they do that a lot in almost every one of these songs. That's what I remember the most from this one. The next one, I'll let you pronounce it.
Accentuate the positive. That's what it is.
You got to accentuate the positive. Eliminate the negative. latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between.
This is one we all know. Yeah. What'd you think?
Yeah, it's a more upbeat than the last few songs. So this would be like the album's rock song, I guess.
Yeah, you're right. And it's fun.
And I don't think Paul really adds anything to it. It sounds like a lot of versions that I've heard before. But he does a lot more double tracking of his vocals in this song. And
he's singing it, though, in his lower register, which sounds really good on this song. Did you think so? Or
I don't think I noticed that.
Yeah, he's not singing it in a high false in the old man voice. He's kind of singing it in his new voice that he's, you know, has now for the last 15 years. This is his lower register that he is good at singing in. Now the higher part is where he has problems. I think the vocal is really good on this. This is a standout number on this. I like it a lot. So the next song is My Valentine.
She said that someday soon the sun was gonna shine, and she was right. This love of mine, my Valentine.
And stop a minute here and talk about Apple Music. For some reason, this song is not on the streaming album. They have two versions of it, and we've talked about they have the Complete Kisses, and then they have the standard album. Mm-hmm. For some reason, this song is not on the standard album, but it's on the Complete album. And I was waiting for it to come up, you know, as I'm listening to it. It never came up. And, you know, they have 11 to 12 million subscribers now. I would think the bugs would have been worked out by now.
Yeah, you'd think that.
That this would not be happening. And it's happened. And we've talked before that there's one Rolling Stones album that just will not stream. It crashes the whole app. So that's my Apple Music bitch. But I didn't even get to listen to the song this morning. So I've heard it. We've heard it in concert. We know it. What'd you think of it now, the studio version?
Yeah, I was just curious if maybe that studio version was wiped across the board, or if it's just in that release of the album, the studio album.
So 31 tracks on the Complete Kisses. Is that what you have,
yep,
too?
Yep, that's what I'm seeing. Not that I have it, just that I'm looking at the listing.
I'm seeing another version of My Valentine, which is live from Capitol Studios.
Yeah, that's the concert version. So you should have you should have the studio version, the Johnny Mandel original arrangement, and the live version. So there should be three copies of My Valentine in that Complete Kisses thing.
Gotcha. All right, well, what'd you think of this song?
Well, the first time I heard it was when I heard it live, and I was thinking it was on New. So it was a surprise when I first listened to Kisses on the Bottom and heard this song pop up. And I'm as it's starting, I'm going, gosh, this sounds really familiar. And then I recognized that it was the song I heard in concert. But I like it. I haven't heard all of the Johnny Mandel original arrangement, but I kind of like that too because it has a really nice orchestra backing, not just strings, but like a full orchestra. So that was kind of cool. And I'm tempted to buy this song from the Complete Kisses album.
Wow. Well, that's a glowing review.
Yeah, I've really grown to like this song. I really have. And it's, dare I say it, it's the best song on this album. Although I'm dismissing a lot of great American songwriters and saying so, but since this song is new, it's I kind of like it most of all off this album.
Yeah. This is a McCartney original, so yeah. Yeah, it's a good song. I liked it first time I heard it. He played it on the Grammys. He's played it several other places, and it keeps appearing in the set list. It replaces My Love. I mean, is he ever going to do that song again live now? This is the new love song that he throws in. So it's a good tune. It's definitely it's very highly recommended.
Yep, and it's got Eric Clapton as
there you go,
doing the guitar solo.
And that's even better. Always by Irving Berlin. Is that what you got next?
Yep.
I'll be loving you always. with a love that's true. Always.
What'd you think?
This was your grandpa's favorite song, according to something you told me way back when, I think in the late 80s.
Wow. That's a bit of trivia.
Yeah. It was when the movie came out, the movie Always, the Steven Spielberg movie. And
your
grandpa told me that that was his favorite song. And I was kind of surprised because it's a nice song, but I'm surprised that it's somebody's favorite song. But that's what he told me. And
yeah, it's a good tune, though, don't you think?
Yeah, it's a nice tune. But it's got this version has the extended opening, extended introduction that Paul has said that he and John Lennon always used to really like when they were writing songs. And they tried to do that with some of the songs they wrote, the early songs they wrote. And Paul cites that the beginning of Here, There, and Everywhere was a tribute to that kind of songwriting, even though the beginning of Here, There, and Everywhere is only one line, as opposed to the, 8 lines, 12, 16 lines that begin this recording of Always.
Yeah, this is a really good song. This is one of my favorites on here. It sounds great. Everything is perfect. Guitar is great. Of course, Diana Krall's great. Yeah, this one's really good. I have next up My Very Good Friend the Milkman.
I'm a very good friend, the milkman says, that I've been losing too much sleep. He doesn't like the hours I keep, and he suggests that you should marry me.
This is different.
This is the other Fats Waller song that's on the album, and I am not familiar with this song, and it's got kind of a busking sound to it, and it's the standard jazz combo, but they added a trombone solo, and it ends with some whistling.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I like that. See, now Wikipedia is saying the writer is Harold Spiney.
Yeah, I'm just going by the artist that popularized it. So this is a Fats Waller song, although he didn't write it.
Okay. What's his background? I've never even heard of
that. Fats Waller?
Yeah, should I know him?
Well, yeah, he's kind of a big name, but I keep confusing him with Fats Domino, so so I'm really not the person to ask.
I like this a lot, but it's different, but it has a cool sound. The vocal's not as good as the rest of the other songs, but it works. The trumpet is fantastic. That was really a surprise when that came in. I guess that's the big selling point for the song, is that trumpet in there. Bye Bye Blackbird.
I pack up all my cares and woe. Here I go, singing low. Bye. Blackbird.
Which a lot of the reviewers were saying, oh, this is where Paul got the inspiration for Blackbird. The songs sound nothing the same, and the lyrics are not anything the same. I'm not sure where they got that. What'd you think of this?
Well, I think it's just because it's interesting to hear Paul sing Blackbird and not sing the song Blackbird. And Rolling Stone said that this song has always vied with McCartney's Blackbird as Species theme song.
Now, what does that mean?
This is the theme song for Blackbirds. They've got their choice. It's either Bye Bye Blackbird or Paul McCartney's Blackbird.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. That makes sense now. What'd you think of it?
This is another song that has an extended introduction. It's a lot slower than I'm used to hearing Bye Bye Blackbird. And I also noted that it had a piano solo. I guess that was to differentiate this arrangement from other arrangements.
So you're familiar with
it? Oh, yeah. You're not familiar with it?
No, I'm not.
Really? Gosh, this is such a standard that I figured you would have heard it before.
But I noted the same thing you did. The instrumental at the beginning is great. Brushy drums showing up. I just like that sound. I like that the brushy sound on the drums. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. Yeah, I like this is fun to listen to, you know, in this collection of songs. You know, this fits well in there, and it's a good inclusion in there. The next song I have is Get Yourself Another Fool.
I know the rules. Go get yourself another fool.
Well, I really like this. What'd you think?
I guess this was popularized by Sam Cooke. I don't know.
Oh, nice.
I don't know this song. Eric Clapton comes back with a very jazzy guitar. And Paul finally plays an instrument on this album. He plays a backing acoustic guitar. And BBC said that, or noted that Paul really sounds good on this song. And I have to agree, I don't think I would have noticed it until they pointed it out. But his voice really does sound good in this recording. There's something about it that makes his voice in this song sound different than other ones. And I noted that it was recorded in New York, while most of the other tracks were recorded at Capitol Studios in Los Angeles. So I wonder if he was, in better spirits in New York or something like that. Maybe, I don't know. It just sounded different.
Yeah. Vocally, this is his best song on the whole album. And I'm glad you pointed out that was EC. You can tell that's Eric Clapton from the very beginning. The bass is great. And I wrote, as far another thing on the vocal, it's within his new range. So I think that's why he's not straining. He's singing it in the range that he's able to sing now. And it sounds great. And this may be one of my favorite songs on the album. And now that I know it's a Sam Cooke song, I like it even more. Because Sam Cooke's awesome. The Inchworm.
Inchworm, inchworm, measuring the marigolds. You and your blue Christmas ticks, you probably go far.
This is another one of my favorites on here. What
really?
Do you think?
Well, the BBC said this was the album's low point.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I see their point, but I don't agree either. This is another Frank Lesser song, and this Frank Lesser song I do know because it's from the movie Hans Christian Andersen with Danny Kaye.
Oh, that's good trivia there. Yeah.
And it's Hans Christian Andersen telling the tale of the inchworm to a bunch of kids, and that's why the kids are singing 2 plus 2 is 4, 4 plus 4 and 4 are 8. Is it 8 plus? No, it's and. It is and. 8 and 8 are 16. 16 and 16 are 32. That's why it's got the children in the background. But the BBC said the addition of the glutinous, they were complaining about the addition of the glutinous children's chorus, which was quite a slam because glutinous means sticky and sugary and icky. So, but I think that's a bit nasty because the song pretty much cries out for a children's chorus. Every version I've heard of this song has got kids in the background because you pretty much have to have kids in the background singing that counter melody.
Yeah, this is obvious. This is a kid. I mean, it's a kid's song, and you need. And I've never heard it perform without the kids. I like it though, but the kids sound eerie when they kind of come in the first time.
And this Paul plays on this song too. This is the only other song he plays on. He plays acoustic guitar, and I'm wondering if he's the acoustic guitar at the beginning, because if so, he's mixed a lot louder than he was on the Get Yourself Another Fool song.
I think it's a good use of his new falsetto voice in this one. Other than the kids being a little eerie, I like this song and I recommend it. I think it's fun. And I got next, Only Our Hearts. Is that what you got?
Yeah.
But only our hearts will know if we're gonna spend it together, holding on to the dreams that we share. Only our hearts know how much love is there.
That's the last song on the normal release, and the deluxe release, whatever it's called, has two bonus tracks after that.
What'd you think of this one? This is a McCartney song.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I tuned out by this time because I don't have any notes at all except that Stevie Wonder's on harmonica. which is pretty obvious. I mean, that's as soon as that harmonica comes up, you pretty much know exactly that it's Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, there's no doubt, there's no mistaking it. It's the typical Stevie Wonder harmonica, but I think it works. And falsetto use in this song is also very good. Harmonica, like we said, is awesome. And it's a nice ooze at the end, the typical McCartney ooze at the end of the song. That's fun too. I like this one. And so I must have listened to the deluxe edition because I got two more songs. Mm-hmm. Baby's Request, which is a Wings song from my favorite Wings album, Back to the Egg. Can't say anything bad about Back to the Egg. It's fantastic.
When the moon lays his head on a pillow and the stars settle down for a rest, just do me one small favor, I beg you, please play me my baby's request.
And this song first appeared on Back to the Egg. And this is a nice arrangement. It's a good Wings cover. It's a little sped up. It's faster in the vocal delivery than the original, but it's very, very close. The trumpet's nice. That's also in the original. And yeah, I like this a lot. And the band sounds great. Mm-hmm. What'd you think?
Yeah, I like this song too. I went back and listened to Back to the Egg just to compare it, and I was surprised at the really cheesy synthesized saxophone sounds that they were using. So it's really nice to hear this song with a real band behind it, a real big band behind it. And so I like that. I don't know, performance-wise, which McCartney vocal I prefer. I haven't listened to it that closely, but I do like this recording. And it ends with a little jam session after it. After the song ends, the band pops into a little jam session with the trombonist. So that's kind of cool too.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I guess it is possible to say something bad about Back to the Egg because
you just did. As soon as that synthesized saxophone comes in, it's like, oh my God, Paul, I know you could afford a session musician.
So the next one I got is My One and Only Love.
I give myself in sweet surrender. My one and only love.
What'd you think of that?
I guess I really did tune out because I don't have any notes at all for this song.
Yeah, the vocal's okay. Nice falsetto in there. And it's a great kind of a rainy... It reminds me just of... The whole album reminds me of being at home on a rainy day and just throwing something on to kind of chill out.
Very much so.
And this song, Me and My One and Only Love, definitely fits that theme. And all of this album is kind of there. And you were right, there's that one kind of rocker in there, you know. But overall, this album is very subdued. And does this appeal to non-McCartney fans?
I really don't know. I checked a couple of the reviews, but I checked the standard places. I didn't go into any personal blogs or anything like that. But the album seems to have gotten middling reviews. There's nobody's really complained about it, but they all say this is an okay album, but it's not great. And you know, you have to agree with it. That's pretty much what it is. But I mean, the AV Club was saying that Run Devil Run has covers that Paul McCartney's covers sounded like a matter of life and death, but here they sound like preludes to a nice cup of tea and an afternoon nap.
There you go.
But the thing is that bad?
No, I don't think it is.
I mean, he's got, if you really wanted something more up-tempo, Paul McCartney's got 14 other solo albums you can choose from. This is the album he recorded for a nice cup of tea and an afternoon nap. So, I mean, that's perfectly acceptable. Yeah. And I like the BBC's review. They said that it's a very pleasurable set of less-than-common covers from the still-rocking Night. And that's Night with a K, by the way. And their ending was, what McCartney accomplishes here in the best possible sense is an album ideally made for easy listening. And I think that sums it up.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think it's fair to compare this to Run Devil Run.
Yeah, although they are cover albums.
Well, that's the only similarity, other than there's a couple of McCartney originals on Run Devil Run, as there is on this. But Run Devil Run is a 50s, early 60s rocker album, and it's a great album. I mean, we talked about it months ago, and it's definitely one in the later catalog that everybody should check out. But you summed it up. This song is easy. This album, I'm sorry, is very easy listening.
Yeah, it's very pleasant. It's very easy going. We're having some really ugly weather right now as we record this, and this album was perfect for a lazy Sunday morning, which is what this is right now as we record this.
So the question is, since you had never heard it prior to prepping for the show, is this going to be something you're going to go back to, or is couple listens enough?
Well, no, because I got the 96 kilohertz 24-bit recording, so it's definitely in my collection just because it's HD audio. And I've listened to it more than I have his other solo stuff. I've already heard it 3 times, which is saying more. Yeah, just in the preparation of this recording, and that's saying more than I have for some of his other solo albums.
Well, that says a lot there. Well, I guess that is all we have on Kisses on the Bottom.
Well, no, I still have a couple trivia notes.
Okay.
The fact that it's not really trivia. It's just a couple notes that we skipped a lot of albums to get from Memory Almost Full to Kisses on the Bottom.
Tell me about it.
Well, there's the Fireman album, Electric Arguments, which was in 2008, and then the live album, Good Evening New York City, 2009. And Ocean's Kingdom, which was written as backing for a ballet, and that was in 2011. And then we get to Kisses on the Bottom in 2012. So we skipped 3 albums to get to here. And this was also the first release after his wedding to Nancy Chevelle.
It was, yes.
And the album was originally going to be called My Valentine. But Paul announced the album title in a tweet in December 17th, and all he wrote was Kisses on the Bottom. And no one really knew what that meant until January 2012 when the album came out. When the title was officially announced. So it sat there for half a month with people scratching their heads and going, why did Paul McCartney offer Kisses on the Bottom?
Right, I remember that. So, do you think we need to talk about the New York live album? I mean, there's nothing.
I don't think I have it, so it'll be all you. I mean, what tour was 2008, 2009? I don't even remember.
That was the first show at the old Mets Stadium, so it was a big deal. He christened it. He was at the last show of the former Met Stadium, which Billy Joel did. He came in, did a cameo at Billy Joel. And then when they built the new Met Stadium, he came in and did that concert. So, I mean, in historical terms, it was a big deal. But there's nothing earth-shattering on that album that I think we need to go back and talk about. Now, I think the Fireman album, we probably should talk about that somewhere down the road. Electric Arguments is not bad. It's pretty good. Have you heard it?
No. And I've got a copy of Ocean's Kingdom, but I've never listened to that either.
Well, what's the story on that album?
I don't know. I read this morning that it was written for a ballet. I knew it was classical, and I read this morning that it was written for a ballet. That's all I know.
That's about all I know, too.
And I hazard a guess that it takes place under the sea.
Well, anything else you got?
Nope, that was it.
So next is new. Have you purchased it yet?
I've got another copy of another HD audio copy of this too. So my review should be even better because the quality will be exceptional.
Have you heard it yet?
Audio quality will be exceptional. No, I haven't heard it. I've been saving it. I didn't want to. You know, I wanted to give Kisses on the Bottom its due, so just concentrate on that album.
Yeah, New is his last solo album, and we talked about Pure McCartney coming out in June. You would think this year he would have a new album, period, instead of giving us stuff that is obviously great, 67 songs, they're all good, but no new material, and like you said, not even a new song to throw on there. I mean, at least when the Rolling Stones do a one of their upteen compilation albums, they at least throw one or two new songs on there so you can throw down the wallet and buy it. This has the new, but Pure McCartney has nothing new. So in that sense, I'm kind of disappointed. I would have liked a new release, but we still might get it. Well, at least have if he's going to do a retread of old material, do a deluxe version of Off the Ground. You know, there's so much material. We talked about that on the Off the Ground show. There's so much material for that album. Most of it's fantastic. Give us a double album of Off the Ground instead of, you know, giving us Wingspan Volume 2. You know?
Yeah, it's true. He really does need to announce the next titles in his archive edition or whatever they're called. I've forgotten what they're called.
I mean, we haven't got a Back to the Egg, which he's obviously, he doesn't ever talk about that album, but there is an Arrow Through Me is on Pure McCartney, which is from Back to the Egg. There's some Press to Play songs that are on Pure McCartney, and we haven't heard anything about any of those albums coming back, but it would be fun to see a dual release of Flowers in the Dirt and Off the Ground. Together, you know, released at the same time, kind of similar to Tug of War Pipes a Piece when that came out. And one more thing before we go, I guess there's some kind of new unearthed, we're talking about bootleg and stuff and all that. They found some kind of new song that Paul did with Steve Miller back in 1969. It's making the rounds on Facebook and the internet in general.
Really?
Have not heard it, but it's some lost track, and I'm sure that came out because Steve Miller was inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this month.
I'm going to have to check out that song.
All right, well, tell everybody where to find us, because we've kind of forgotten about that the last couple shows.
Yeah, I might have forgotten, too. The blog is at thelongandwinyshow.com. Our email address is podcast@thelongandwinyshow.com. You can find us on Twitter at Long and Whiny and Facebook at Long and Whiny.
And check out, I've got a Beatles podcast, which had a nice interview with a noted Beatles author, a woman, can't for the life of me remember her name, but she is going to be at Beatles Fest, which is, I think, next weekend in April, whenever this might get out after that, but it's like the 15th, 16th, and 17th of April.
Yeah.
That's I've got a Beatles podcast. It's always fun to listen to those guys. I don't agree with them most of the time, but yeah, check that podcast out. And one more thing before we go, the anthology albums are now officially streaming.
Are they the full albums or the highlights?
They're the full albums.
It's highlights separate. It's
highlights they don't even have the highlights. All they have is 1, 2, and 3, the full.
Oh, okay. I got an email, and I thought it was the highlights was what was streaming.
And I've checked out Anthology 3 over the last week, and that is awesome. We didn't talk enough about the anthologies, and maybe we will in the future. They're worth talking about. But Anthology 3 is awesome. So check that out, and I guess that's it. We're out of here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've got, speaking of Paul McCartney or Beatles authors, there's going to be another biography of Paul McCartney coming out, and it's kind of official, authorized, I mean, and it's coming out on May 3rd, so look for that. It's by Philip Norman, who's written a few Beatle biographies already, but it's called Paul McCartney, The Life.
Did he get extensive interviews with Paul or what?
Yeah, I think it's authorized. I think he participated in it.
Well, if he did, then it'll be good.
But that's coming out May 3rd. Although I'm not a huge fan of Philip Norman because I think he got a few things wrong. I think he wrote the book Shout, which was the first Beatle biography I read, and it was definitely pro-John Lennon. It was definitely Lennon-centric, so it's kind of interesting that he's writing a book about Paul McCartney now, but I guess he had to just by process of elimination.
Right. Yep. Paul does not get his due out there, even though he's a huge touring act still. All right, well, next time we'll be back with New from 2013, his last solo album to date. And that's what we'll talk about next week. But go ahead, check out Kisses on the Bottom on the various streaming platforms. It is definitely worth a listen. And a snowy, cold, rainy day, it's definitely time to put it on, relax, kick back. And I don't think you'll be disappointed. It's not. It's a surprisingly solid album. But there, I mean, we've talked about the problems. But overall, I'm giving it a thumbs up. That's about all I got. All right, we'll see you guys next time. And give us a review on iTunes. Well, that was a long show on an album we don't know anything about.
Yeah, it did go longer than I thought. I figured it would take about 10 minutes.
Yeah, me too. it's surprisingly a solid album, though. I mean, you know, you don't expect much from it, and I think it delivers 10 times more than what you thought.
Mm-hmm. I still like Run Double Run better, though.
Oh, me, of course. I love that album. It's fantastic.